the Business on RTE Radio 1 with Bank of Ireland, supporting businesses during National Enterprise Week this November 14th to 21st. The Business on RTE Radio 1 with Bank of Ireland. As Ireland's enterprise bank, we're lending to over 500 businesses and farmers every week.
Welcome back to The Business. You can contact us by text to 51551, by phone to 1857 15150, email thebusiness@rte.ie or tweet to @thebusinessRTE. This week, Snapchat, the social media messaging service favoured by 15 to 25-year-olds, launched Snap Cash, a new payment service that allows users to transfer money between friends via text message. They're not the first tech company making inroads in this area, and now I'm joined by two people to take a look at when our phones might replace our wallets. Felicity McCarthy, owner and founder of Spark Digital, and Ian Cleary, CEO of Razor Social. You're both very welcome to the programme. Felicity, first to you, this Snapchat, Snapcash thing that they've launched, what is it? How does it work?
So really how it works, Richard, is if I'm a user of Snapchat and I can add my debit card details. Actually, it's worth saying it's in beta in the US at the moment, and it's for people over 18. So if I'm a Snapchat user over 18, I can add my debit card details. And then if I'm connected to Ian on Snapchat, I can actually send him money. So I'd literally add $15 into a Snapchat message and hit send. That will send the funds to Ian. And he can then either spend those funds on Snapchat, on Snapcash, or he can decide to cash it out. So actually by connecting his Snapcash account to his bank account. So he can decide to use the funds on Snapcash as well, or to actually use those funds in his own bank account. So really, it's peer-to-peer payments. And I suppose one of the use cases where it's been mentioned is, let's say, so if Ian and I are buddies and we are buying a present for our friend, or if we're a brother and sister and we're buying a present for our mum or dad coming up to Christmas, I perhaps might buy the gift, and Ian can send me his part of that gift payment
That's
via Snapchat.
That's one example of how you might use it, but I'm just thinking about person-to-person. 18 to 25 year olds, you know, can you give me €20 or €20? I'm stuck this week, and then somebody flips that over. But beyond that, it doesn't seem to have huge potential or a huge reality right now.
So I think peer-to-peer payments, it's actually been around for a while. So actually PayPal, for example, have had this mechanism via where literally, again, I could pay you via PayPal by simply knowing the email address that you use for PayPal. So that peer-to-peer payments has been around in a fee-free environment for some time. I think what a lot of these businesses are likely to be thinking about it is how do they perhaps keep the user-to-user version of it free, and perhaps monetize on a business version
That's
of
the thing, Ian. I mean, how are they going to make any money out of it?
Yeah, at the moment they don't care. They're just building audience at the moment. And I think what they want to do is get people hooked on transferring money. So they're giving over their debit card details. Now they're transferring money. And once they're used to transferring money, then they'll bring in additional services at some stage where you pay for the services. And remember also, when you're exchanging, if you're exchanging currencies and stuff, they'll make money on that as well. But I think it's going to be services in the future is where they're going to make money from it.
And again, a lot of these big tech companies, you know, like Facebook or whoever, when they started, it was all about getting numbers of people to use the service. And then they started bringing in advertising and making a lot of money.
Correct. Yeah. And a lot of it is around the user-to-user environment first in terms of engagement and, of course, volume, which then they can monetize. Actually, one other, I suppose, piece of speculation around Snapcash is that by having this payment mechanism, there'll be more data exchanged, where Snapchat at the moment don't necessarily carry a lot of data about their users. But when people actually add this extra data layer, it will help them to have more targeting capability for monetization channels for advertising.
This, Ian, should eat into what banks do to a certain extent. What are the implications for banks in the future if this really took off?
Well, it is going to take off. And I think like Facebook, Twitter, they'll all have facilities where you'll be able to buy products and services through these channels. And any of these micropayment transactions, you know, smaller amounts of money, is all going to be done through, you know, exchanging to your mobile phone.
Although the banks themselves are moving into that as well, aren't they?
They are, but the banks are not innovative and their technology is going to be quite dated. So the banks can't get the skills that people are, that are required to build these type of systems. So you see companies like Stripe, the Irish brothers who set up Stripe, already that company is worth about $2 billion and they're doing a lot of payment processing. And then, of course, you're going to have the virtual currencies taken off. So you have the Bitcoin and now there's like another currency called Stellar. So, you know, banks will be less reliant on banks. You know, you'll probably still go and get your mortgage through a bank.
You can have your savings, you can do all of that.
Yeah. Yeah,
but banks won't give up on that very easily. Surely they're going to get in the technology fight.
I think they will. And I think there's probably one of the things I often think about this is that a lot of these technology layers are, they're outside of the regional remits of most banks. So most banks will have a kind of an Irish or a UK or a US presence. And whereas a lot of the likes of Stripe and Square, who are behind the Snapcash deal, they will actually, they're international. So they're not necessarily going to be held back or, you know, farther ahead by what's happening in particular markets because one or two banks are or are not being more innovative.
So the idea then, Ian, in the future of having your mobile phone or device replacing your wallet, how far away do you think that is?
It's probably only a couple of years. I mean, there's been a couple of false starts. We thought that Google Wallet would be, that's going to be our wallet, you know. But I mean, there's actually people in the US are four times more like, well, people that are under age of 30 are more four times more likely to have like their mobile phone than cash in their pocket. So already people are having less and less cash in their pocket. So it is definitely moving there the next couple of years. I mean, I'm looking forward to getting rid of the wallet out of my back pocket and just have the mobile phone. There's 6 billion mobile phones. So we're at a stage now where everybody has one.
Yeah, I quite like cash in my pocket now myself. I don't even use a wallet. Just keep the notes and change
in my pocket. You like
jingling
your cash.
But Felicity, is it a case then that these really big companies in the future, technology companies, will need to be regulated because they'll be acting like banks and doing part of what banks do?
I think there will. They definitely need to be subject to certain types of regulation. I don't think it'll be region to region. I think what they'll do is, subject themselves to the rigors that they will need to. So in the Snapcash example, they've partnered with Square, who already have a strong reputation in the payment space.
So they're moving more and more into that. I'm afraid we'll have to wrap it up there. Felicity McCarthy, owner and founder of Spark Digital, and Ian Cleary, CEO of Razor Social. Thanks very much for joining us on the programme.